7 o'clock. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. The All-Star Game introductions pretty much, they're still going on. Adley Rushman's coming out. Remember him and Bobby going 1 and 2 in the draft. I just can't wait to get the regular season going again, man. Let's go. Let's have some fun, man. We got training camp going on now. The Royals, who knows what this fall is going to be. I think the Falls and Royals are going to be fighting for that wild card. Chiefs season will be underway. Life's good, man. Life's good as a sports fan here in Titletown, USA.
It really is. I mean,
it's Titletown.
It's always great, especially now that the Chiefs have gone how many you know, 3 Super Bowls now.
But in the last
when you
5
had
years.
That when you had that lull in the summertime, it just wasn't the same. But now you're getting that invigoration back within the fans
both
from going
at the same time.
It's season to season, baby.
It's not like broadcasting. You know, we used to broadcast with St. Joe and Uncle D's. You know, we'd be sitting there waiting for the Chiefs. The big story would be like, is Eric Fisher? How long is he going to hold out and things like that? Because the Royals aren't very good, so it's all, you know, let's debate the Chiefs' backup punter. Let's debate, you know, position battles. They don't really have a ton of position battles, to be honest with you. It's more of an order of where guys are going to finish. We kind of know who the starting lineup is at this point, to be honest with you, except left tackle. That remains the biggest key, in my opinion, whether it's Kingsley or Wanya Morris. But the bottom line is, both things are relevant. Both things are good. You know, it's not like the Royals are struggling. Or, you know, back in 15, you know, when the Royals were, remember when the Chiefs had a long losing streak, or 14 was the year that they did make the playoffs. They finished 9-7. And here's the Royals went to game 7 of the World Series. There's been something that captivates you almost each and every year. And now you're getting a collision, and plus add in Missouri, add in Kansas, add in Kansas State football. And you have the whole triumvirate with baseball and football. And if you're not listening to Carrington, he had the Mizzou day today. Tomorrow's his Kansas Day. Lance Leipold will be on. Then the following day will be Kansas State Day. So I don't think Carrington just talked all Mizzou today, which is great because we're going to hear from Eli Drinkwitz later. But the bottom line is he's going to cover them all.
Is it not just the most exciting time to be a fan that lives in Kansas City?
Yeah, we just in the draft 2 years ago.
Just in general.
Get the draft, get the World Cup coming.
I mean, what a time to be alive, Bing. Can you believe it?
Current have one loss. Sporting Kansas City, they've struggled, but can they get back on things? I don't know. But the Royals are definitely relevant because every series is very important for this team.
Exactly.
And they're fun to watch. And you have a superstar like Bobby Witt Jr. to root for. The Chiefs are back at training camp. You know, they're going for that three-peat. Like, it is fun being a Kansas City fan. Fans in this town have fun on the Super Bowl Sunday now. I mean, not that they always didn't, but they don't have to sit there and watch the Patriots.
Yeah.
Every Super Bowl Sunday.
Or
I'm going to win another one.
Or a dud of a Super Bowl. You know, you
give me some more nachos.
You get a L.A. versus Cincinnati 6-3 game. Like, that's who wants to watch that?
You know, unfortunately, I did. And there was talk. Remember that? People going to watch the Super Bowl. That was the big thing. Because when the Chiefs lose to the Bengals and you weren't able to keep the Grim Reaper going, you know, the Grim Reaper showed up in Buffalo. Remember? When it's Grim, be the Grim Reapers, Andy Reid told Mahomes. But then the Bengals go. I was actually... had some heart issues at that time, and I'm an idiot. I actually prolonged going to the hospital, which I probably should have, to the Super Bowl was done. Again, this is stupid, like, guy stuff. But I was, like, stuck on the couch, couldn't really move. But damn it, I wanted to watch the Super Bowl. Yes, it was Cincinnati in it, but I was sure going for the Rams, man. That was some. I had a rooting interest. It was to root against the Bengals. Sorry, Drew.
Well, that's okay, because also I was rooting for Matt Stafford in that game because I've always been a longtime Matthew Stafford fan.
Okay.
Who was parked in Detroit forever with a terrible team other than, you know, Calvin Johnson. So it was good to see him play, and obviously we all want to hate on the Bengals because that's just the nature of rivalries. So, but yeah.
In all honesty, it's probably the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Though,
it's probably the dumbest thing I've ever done, to be honest with you, because considering what happened once I got there, like – prolonging was probably stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to call you stupid but I think you can do that yourself.
You think I want to watch in a hospital room the Super Bowl? No.
Who would?
And if the Chiefs were in it, I still would have had to drag myself to do postgame. You know, I would have done it.
Were in it, that was the only pass I would have given you.
It's probably one of those dumbest things I've done, but you know what? I like the Super Bowl, and I don't want to sit there and watch it while they're taking blood every 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're alive and kicking the day.
Or taking your blood pressure or whatever. You know how you can't get any rest in the hospital.
Oh, no, not at all. Every 2 hours, you got something going on.
Yeah. So 100%, I was probably dumb, but I enjoyed every minute of it. Patrick Mahomes, we heard from Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes talked today for the first time. Again, man, it's refreshing hearing these voices again of the Kansas City Chiefs. Because now it starts, man. You're going to hear this all the way, hopefully, until February. But here's Patrick Mahomes on his first day of camp.
Has it been as easy as you made it look, or is it more difficult than that? And what's your message this year? Any different than what it might normally be?
Not necessarily. I think for us, it's just we're back in St. Joe's. It's time to get better. Every season starts different. You got to come in with that same mentality you had the year before, even a higher intensity. And even though we won the Super Bowl last year, we felt like we didn't play our best football, especially offensively. So it's our goal to be better that way, and we have to come in with that mentality every single day.
Patrick, how do you emphasize the importance of the regular season, given what you just said, that maybe things didn't go well in the regular season, but you guys still survived and played well in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the end result was awesome, but I mean, I think a lot of us still have a weird feeling in our mouth because I mean, we really didn't play the football the way we wanted to play all year long, and it wasn't fun. I mean, every single week having to try to just continue to get better and better, and results not paying off the way you wanted to, it wasn't a lot of fun. And we have a lot of those same guys back, and they know how that.
This way that you somehow have gotten hungrier the more you've won, and if that's true, can you explain that, how that works?
Yeah, it's. Once you win the Super Bowl, I feel like even to another extreme, like when you don't win it, it sucks even more because you experience the off season of being able to say you're the champ, and you experience all the different things and activities you're able to do because you're a Super Bowl champ, and you experience the feeling of just winning the Super Bowl. And so for us, I'll speak for myself. I mean, when you don't win it now, it sucks because you know what it could be like if you were to go out there and win it.
When it comes to the offense for you guys, every year it evolves, but this year, how excited are you with the new pieces in place to have that evolution and start working on that?
No, yeah, I'm extremely excited. I mean, we added a lot of speed, obviously, y'all know that, but we also added just players in every single position group, and I'm excited for the offense to go out there and attack. And we have some of those young guys here at Rookie Minicamp, and I'm excited to get a couple days with them and get some early work in with them and timing, and then adding the veteran guys as the week goes on, and trying to just continue to get better and better. And I mean, what better than going against our defense? I mean, it's the best defense in the NFL, and we get to go get some every single day and really show where we're at and how we can get better.
Because you've been through this so much, Patrick, how are you going to try to ease and sort of navigate Xavier through this? Because you guys probably will be relying on him pretty early on in the season.
I mean, there's no easing. Like, he's going to have to get out and be ready to go. We got a lot of competition on this offense. Brett Veach and Coach Reed did a great job bringing a lot of competition in. And Xavier, I mean, he got a lot of mental work in these last few weeks that he had during OTAs and minicamp, but it's time to go now. And I mean, y'all saw it with Rasheed last year and some of the throwing up days he had. I mean, we're gonna push you to the limit and prepare yourself to be ready to go for the season. And that's not just him, that's everybody. And everybody has to have that mentality when they come into camp.
Patrick, similar question for Wiley, the tight end. You did get to work with him a little bit during the offseason. What are you anticipating for him early on?
Yeah, I mean, I anticipate he comes in and learns and gets better and better. I mean, the physicality and the size and speed, you see that. But now we'll get to test the mental ability, and that tight end position is hard in the NFL, especially in Coach Reed's offense. Is you have to be able to block and make all the blocking assignments, but also do all the passing stuff too. And so he's done a great job with that so far, and we're going to keep pushing him and see what we can do. And there's going to be a lot of competition in that room, obviously, with Travis and Noah, but even the other guys we have. And so I'm excited for him to get in. And get the work and come back and hopefully be a big impact on our team.
Patrick, no team in the NFL has had as short of an offseason as you guys have had the last couple of years especially. So as you get older, just how much of an emphasis or do you put yourself on conditioning and being ready for another, what hopefully is another long run?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit of the negative of winning the Super Bowl is it shortens your offseason, but I'll take it every time. I mean, it makes the offseason that much more enjoyable. And obviously, we started earlier this year, I think, than I'd ever started. But I mean, we're here to go out here and win football games, and that's our job. And so I'm excited for it. And it'll be a big emphasis of just preparing your body. And once you get here, Coach Rhea will make sure to know if you're prepared or not.
Patrick, another year here in St. Joe. I mean, we're seeing vets like Nadia and Leo just show up early. Just how crucial is it for you guys to be all together in this kind of old school setting?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, the only thing for me is leaving the family is always tough, like especially as the kids get older. But being in the building and being at lunch together, being at dinner together, always kind of being around the guys, you build this kind of culture and this family type brotherhood. And so I'm excited to continue to do that with a lot of new faces and then with guys that have been here before because we know this is what it takes in order for us to go out there and be great.
What's the evolution of warm life for you?
This is my first year I'm bringing a TV. So I haven't brought a TV ever before. But NCAA came out, and I'm going to have to turn it on. So I brought a TV for NCAA and the Olympics. So that's my first year of doing that.
Last year, Chris wasn't here, and that was kind of hanging over. There's not question marks like that this year. Does that feel pretty good to not have those kind of things hanging around?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have everybody in the building, especially vets and guys I've built great relationships with. I'm not going to say it's awesome to see him on the other side of the ball because he can disrupt the play kind of whenever he wants. But it's always good to have everybody here because we all try to, like I said, build this brotherhood. And when we go through these tough days at camp, and Coach Reed puts us to the test so that when we get in games, we can come together and really go out there and find ways to win. And I think that's why we've been able to have all these kind of late finishing comeback type of wins because Coach Reed tests us every single day.
A lot of you guys go into their school's Hall of Fame, but I don't know if anybody gets their name, their logo, their initials on the field. What would that mean to you? How'd that come about?
Yeah, I think just the partnership with Texas Tech has been awesome. And then with Adidas coming in, and I've built such great relationships there, and I've kind of kept those relationships. And so it's really exciting that I'll be able to wear the Texas Tech stuff and not have to cover it up, the Under Armour logo and everything like that. And to have my logo on some of their gear is going to be really cool, and I'm excited for the future of the partnership. And I think it's just at the beginning now, and it's going to take off even more.
Just along more of the off-season lines, I mean, another child coming into the family, you can do Wimbledon, continue doing all this stuff with the business. Just how are you seeing yourself evolve, just trying to manage everything?
Yeah, I'm done. I'll say that. I said three, and I'm done. So, it's awesome. I always wanted to have kids young. I got to grow up in the locker room. I think I've talked about it before, and it made such an impact in my life. And so I wanted to have kids young, and we're having our third kid now to join our family. And Brittany does a great job of doing that, and we still go out and enjoy our life and let our kids see these great things. They might not be able to remember what videos of, and it is really cool because I spend so much time in the building at football for these seven, eight months. And whenever I'm with my family, I want to enjoy those moments.
You looked nervous watching Bobby last night.
Oh, I was very nervous, man. He was close, and I thought that last one was gone. But I was excited for the world to see his talent because, I mean, we've seen it the last few years here. I mean, he's a tremendous talent, one of the best players in the MLB, and I'm excited for the second half of the season. I'm excited for the All-Star game tonight and then the second half of the season and seeing the Royals make a push at trying to get in the playoffs and see what they can do because it's been a long time building, and these young guys are ready for it.
Patrick, let's go two more, Sam and Ty.
What's the process of getting Kingsley, ready to –
Yeah, I think it's just practice. I mean, it's not going to be perfect every single day, and we don't expect it to be, but we expect you to go out there and put your best effort forward every single rep, and it'll be a great competition in that O-line room, especially that left tackle spot. But we'll send kind of all those guys out there and just see who can go out there and compete and come out the best, and whoever wins the job wins the job. But I'm excited for the competition of it, and that's what you want in any team, in any position, is you want competition, and I'm excited for those guys to see who can kind of rise to the occasion.
I know that many camp doesn't have pads and everything, but what were your just impressions of them?
Yeah, he got better and better, and he wasn't scared of the moment. I think that's a big thing. I mean, me coming in as a rookie, and I didn't even get thrown in with the ones like that. And, I mean, he's coming straight in from combine training and thrown in with the ones, and he's competing. And he's not making the same mistakes twice, and I think that's huge. And so the pads will come on now. It's another step. It's another step in the journey for him. But I think he's excited for it, honestly. And so we'll see where we're at, and we'll keep building and try to see, like I said, who comes out on top at the end of the competition.
Patrick, if you were at home or in a nice hotel, it would probably be more enjoyable. But I wonder, what do you think specifically would be lost about things you get to do here or have happen? Like, what specific things happen in here?
I think it's just like it's the relationships. I mean, when you're all in this together every single step of the way, I mean, you have to build friendships or you're gonna hate each other. And so it's you build friendships. You go to a lot of different places where you're either eating on campus together or you're eating at different places around the city. And then you go to practice and you work hard, and you can talk about it right after. It's not like you're going on your way back home or whatever that is. And so I have a lot of conversations with guys like Justin Reed and Nick Bolton, and we talk about what can make each other better. And the coaches, like sometimes, like Girardi is mad, I give them tips on like what they can do to hide stuff. But I'm like, dude, it's going to make us better in the long run. So at the end of the day, it's just fun to kind of get to go up against the best of the best every single day.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Patrick.
See, and that's the right attitude, man. Like, instead of the guys, going their own way and going back home, even though most of them stay in a hotel somewhere if they move them up, they're hanging out together. They may not like each other. They find a way to like each other.
Well, I'll tell you what, from all my experience in training camps and anytime we'd go up to the Benedictine camp or the Hutch camp, being somewhere where you can't go out, you can't get away from your team, when you're all forced to be together, Some people might think of that as a bad chemistry or bad idea or bad atmosphere. It's not. I promise you, you guys will end up talking to each other. That'll make relationships that you never freaking see. You'll end up, you know, it's coming home from practice that night, knowing you've got nowhere to be, knowing you've got dinner set up for you guys. So, hey, guess what, guys? Let's get together. Let's play some cards. All right? Let's get on the Xbox or something. It's building true chemistry. I promise you it works.
It's why you look at the Royals, and sometimes – I know they have a losing record on the road this year, but sometimes when you get away, because you're all at the hotel together, you all eat together, you know, you're away, you know, from your home together, you're hanging out. So sometimes being on the road helps teams out a lot. I know the Baltimore Orioles sitting there at 28-16, like they're good and better on the road than at home. But I'll react to Patrick Mahomes next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back. Jim Akeley, Blake Sneeders. We just heard for Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid was talking about, you know, easing him in. I think he meant that through rookie camp. He said the lines are shorter, right? Because you don't have as many players, obviously, at rookie camp. So you're going to get more reps. So ease him in there. But it sounds there when you hear from Patrick Mahomes. You know, it's go time, man. There's a lot expected on you. Just like we talked about, like, hey, you got to get out there and prove yourself, Xavier. And I think it'll be one of the bigger storylines, to be honest with you, how much, like, he helps this offense. Because all this offense is getting a ton of run, Blake, because of how good they look going downfield. Because things change. I mean, last year, they didn't go down the field that much. Now you've got speedsters like Hollywood Brown, like Xavier Worthy. And people are fully expecting the Chiefs offense to go downfield. I'm more excited because I think the offense could be better than it was last year, and it was still good enough to beat the, what, number 1, 3, 4, and 5 scoring defense in the NFL in the postseason on the road or a neutral site like the Super Bowl. They put it all together at the right time, but the defense was special last year, number 2 in the NFL in scoring defense. Now what can Mahomes do with that offense? I mean, the offense was still good, but it can be much better, and we know that. They can score more points. This year I expect the offense to take that step forward like they were last couple of years. They became a defensive team. Didn't matter. They still played the best of the best as far as defenses in the postseason. The only top 5 defense they didn't play was themselves because they were number 2. So you add that with this. Remember when Josh Allen's had the number 1 defense before? Remember the 13 seconds of glory game? People don't talk about it. Yes, it was remarkable the Chiefs went down there and scored, but it's even more remarkable they went down and scored on that defense.
That's one of those games that you can replay over and over and over again, and it still blows your mind every time you watch it.
You know it does, but imagine how that would have lived on had they beat the Bengals and then got on the Super Bowl.
If they didn't follow it up with a really bad performance, it would have been one of the greatest postseason games of all time. But no, it would have, the legacy of it would have been even greater.
I agree. But think about it. 65 toss power trap. You know, with Mike Garrett scoring a touchdown, that's going to live on.
Of course.
You know, forever in Chiefs memory. Do we have time to run Wasp? You know, from that Super Bowl win against the Niners the first time. The Grim Reaper, because people were showing up dressed like a Grim Reaper. And that would have been cool to carry that on. When it's Grim, be the Grim Reaper. But then they lose the Bengals. Think about how close they've been to the Super Bowl. They could have gone every year.
Yeah. They were, you know, you lose, they were the Bengals, what, inches away from the Patriots
overtime,
first year.
Overtime twice. Yeah, they lose the Patriots in overtime because that was the old rules. Yeah. Tom Brady gets the ball first, boom, goes down and scores. Then, of course, when the Chiefs did that against the Bills, they changed the rule.
Of course.
And then there's always the what if. What if the year before that, Mahomes' rookie year, Andy Reid makes the switcheroo at halftime, pulls out Alex Smith and puts in Patrick Mahomes that nobody's got film on except for Texas Tech that they probably didn't prepare a whole lot for. Then how far do they go?
How many rings does he have then? But yeah, we can play this game. We can play this game for every year.
If D Ford's not offsides, they go to the Super Bowl. The Rams were definitely. Yeah. Rams only scored three points. It was the same Rams team that scored over 50 on the Chiefs during the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't call that Edelman non-fumble or a fumble and non-fumble.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, that's the game of football. It's so close, but
it's a game of inches. We always say it.
But the number one yardage defense in the NFL that year were the Buffalo Bills, and that's what they went down at 13 seconds.
Bink, you know what I'm expecting?
Scored on.
You know what I'm expecting? One of the biggest changes for this year coming in.
What's that?
Less dropped passes. And
yes!
I truly believe that is not going to happen this year.
I think that has been a point of emphasis with this team.
I've been thinking this whole offseason, and when you really look back at last year, that's one of those years where it's sometimes you just have that happen in a season where you've got fluke things that happen and people get the yips, odd plays happen, and it doesn't usually repeat itself over and over and over again, unless you're the Lions or the Raiders. But for the Chiefs, I do not see that happening again this year. I firmly believe that Andy's got that offense set up. Patrick's got that drilled into his wide receivers' heads. That's not happening again this year.
But it even could have cost them, too. I mean, you think about how costly that was. Even just the offsides, like against Buffalo, they had a bye week, by the way, before they played the Chiefs in that game. Chiefs would have beat them without, you know, Kadarius Toney being offsides and the Travis Kelce throwback. You remember that one game where he had two, you know, footballs bounce out of his hands and they lose that game? I mean, there's two games I felt that Kadarius probably cost the Chiefs, and it cost them a chance at home field advantage against the Ravens in the AFC title game because they would have the same record. And the Chiefs would have got the nod because they had a better AFC record than the Ravens. That game would have been played here instead of Baltimore. It all worked out, and it's kind of, you know, it's fun looking back on the, hey, they went to Baltimore and won. But had it cost them going to Baltimore, you know, those drops would have cost them an opportunity at another Super Bowl ring.
It's weird to look at because if you look at it one way, man, we could have had home field advantage. You could have had an extra win or two if it wasn't for, you know, unfortunately, if it wasn't for the Kadarius Toney plays that happened. But then, since it did happen, you have almost an even greater storyline of going on the road and beating the top, you know, how many
looks great
three
now.
Top three defenses, the top five defenses on the road back to back to back to back to back.
It's amazing, but you know, you mentioned that, you know, scoring offenses they went against with this defense, the number two, the number three, the number four, and the number six scoring offense. As far as beating defense, I don't think people give the offense. I mean, I know, you know, we look at the defense, they, you know, win a Super Bowl because of the defense, really. Think of this offense. This offense has struggled all year, and people kept asking, is Mahomes still got it? They beat the number one scoring defense in the NFL, Baltimore, the number three scoring defense in the NFL, San Francisco. They beat the number four scoring offense, the Buffalo Bills. The only team missing from that top four was the team he practices against every day, the Chiefs, which is unbelievable. But you pair this defense that's got its swag now, man. They get the respect. It's no longer, hey, this is the offense team, this Patrick Mahomes team. The defense carries that swag around with them. But yes, last year, the drop passes definitely hurt the Chiefs. I mean, it all works out. It all works out, and you're glad. They went to Buffalo. I'm just glad they ended that narrative. I'm just glad they ended that narrative of Patrick Mahomes. And can he win on the road in the playoffs? He certainly shut people up on that, didn't he?
And the real thing is I never thought it was really a viable narrative in the first place.
No, it's not.
I never really did. Everybody's like, well, wait till he comes to our house and plays. Okay. His road record is pretty dang good. And then he did it. So what are we talking about?
Wins. He goes into Baltimore and wins, beats San Francisco on a neutral field. I don't think people realize just how good of a player he's been on the road, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And this
it was
team
a false narrative.
It was a completely false narrative, but that's been proven wrong. Put it this way, in his career, he's played 47 games at home. He's played 49 on the road. He has a 64.8 completion percentage at home. He's got a 68% completion percentage on the road. He's thrown for 13,391 yards at home. On the road, 15,033 yards. Again, 13,391 at home, 15,033 on the road in just two more games. Touchdown-wise, he's got 100 at home. He has 119 on the road. Yeah, that was the false narrative because those were the stats going into postseason. It's like this dude's been better on the road, 4% completion percentage better on the road than at home. Well, people got what they asked for, man.
The media's
got to find out, right?
The media's got to be able to talk about something, so they made something up.
You blank around and find out. Is that all right?
Oh, that's 100% right.
CBS Sports did a fun little piece about players that need to step up for every team. I'll tell you who they have. The Chiefs guy that needs to step up the most next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Still scoreless in the All-Star game? People are really wanting them to go back to their jerseys, just their individual team jerseys, instead of trying to sell the American League jerseys, the National League jerseys, and the hats. I'm on team wear your stuff, your home stuff.
I'm definitely on team wear yourself. I thought Dusty had a good point. He said, wear the jerseys for the home run derby, but when it comes to the actual game, wear your regular jerseys.
I don't even think they should do that. I just regular jerseys for both.
I mean, I'm with it.
I mean, they wear the hats, the All-Star game hats. It's fine.
I just think it'd be cool to, okay, you have an alternate jersey that you can buy, but for the main stuff, you can still, they're wearing their regular jersey.
Or wear their City Connects.
That's what, and that's what you and I were talking about. I think they should be able to choose their favorite jersey of their team. And if they're home or away, they get to choose their favorite away jersey and their home favorite home jersey.
Or have all the players wear the City Connects in the Home Run Derby.
Exactly. That'd be awesome.
Which I love the Royal City Connects. And I brought this up to several people. I mean, I was looking at ESPN, they ranked them. I mean, again, it's couple people's opinion or whatever, doesn't really matter. But hey, the Rockies is one. I'm like, kidding me? That Green Mountains and the stuff? No, man.
No.
No. The City Connect of the Royals is the classiest jersey.
Who are some of your favorites of the City Connects?
I like Pittsburgh's. I like the White Sox.
I love the White Sox. South Side?
I think Boston's actually really cool. That yellow and blue where it says Boston across. I think that looks good.
It reminds me of the Eagles' yellow and like light blue jerseys.
But the Royals are by far my favorite.
Oh, they're so good. City of Fountains, baby.
The City of Fountains, I like it. 100% like it. Skeens, starting. Talk about the young stars in this game. You know, like Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunner and Paul Skeens, man. As far as somebody plays for a different team, and again, I have no love loss for the. I mean, I have no feelings towards the Pirates, one way or the other. There's certain teams you just hate. Like the Cardinals, can't stand them. But like Pittsburgh,
yeah, I'm indifferent.
They've been no threat. The Steelers, I hate them. But the Pirates, no. But I enjoy Skeens. And when he's pitching, I know we do a text thread, but me and Kling and Fesco, like, hey, man, it's Skeens Day. Hey, it's Skeens Day. Don't forget Skeens to turn on. So we remind each other when Paul Skeens, he's just fun to watch because he mows everybody down.
Is that the day you guys place all your bets on the over-under for your strikeouts? Yeah.
He went, see, they haven't really updated this. I know that, what's the guy? They finished the inning, didn't they? The ones, did he strike somebody out?
Cause I thought he struck out two.
Oh, because I have two-thirds of an inning, he hadn't had a strikeout yet, so I don't know if he struck out.
Oh, so maybe it was just one.
The last guy or not.
I believe they had a really cool stat earlier on this, and I believe it's 29 guys in the All-Star game are making their very first All-Star game appearance, which is the second most all-time. 29 new guys.
Getting the young stars in the game. By the way, Corbin Burns just goes an inning. For the American League, they're already the Scooble at this point, so I imagine they're going to go one inning per starter, which is fine. Skeens, that would have kept in just a little bit longer, man.
Yeah, just because he's such a show to watch.
I mean, they already pulled him during two no-hitters this year.
Don't even get me started. I'm going to get heated on that.
Let him go. The young stars are, you know, the future of this game. You know, it's fun. I mean, I'm having fun. I think they've did a great job at the Home Run Derby. I liked how they've changed the draft. They can never truly make Major League draft interesting because the NFL's draft's awesome, and that's why, you know, they had 700,000 people in Detroit because people watch these guys play college football, and you're looking at 257 guys drafted, and most of the teams, you know, of course you have the undrafted guys as well, but people have seen these guys in college. They're homegrown talent to a lot of these guys. Baseball is more of a learning thing. Oh, and they drafted a high school pitcher. Let me look at his highlights.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to be involved in scout for baseball. Kate Leon,
a lot of people probably heard of because college baseball has never been more popular, in my opinion. And a lot of that, I know Tennessee's coach talked about it too. Like, have you heard anybody complain? They're talking about length of games, how some of these games are long. He goes, do you ever hear anybody complain about these? They sell out those SEC stadiums. Guys are staying in school instead of going pro. And you noticed 9 of the top 10 draft picks came from colleges. Like they weren't high school. They're more ready to get to Major League Baseball as of now. With name, image, and likeness, it's changed things. I think the talent pool's better that the guys are staying. College baseball has definitely benefited from that. But I would still, with my app idea, Major League Baseball needs to trend into the smart direction. It's called. You grab your cell phone. You pay a package, whatever. I don't know what your fee is a month. Maybe $4.99 a month, something like that. Because now they're charging for everything, right? So you charge for that, and you get 3 players. And you get alerted when any of those 3 players are up to bat. Maybe you're a Bobby Witt Jr. fan. You want to see, you get a little update on your phone, says, watch Bobby Witt, and you watch him live. Or Ohtani's up to bat, and you get that alert. So you get 3 players, and you can rotate them out whoever you want. But so whenever you're out to dinner, wherever you're doing, you get that little text update, says, Bobby Witt Jr.'s up at the plate.
And then you can, if you want a bigger package and you want to follow like 10 guys, it's a little bit more. But
you can do it. Of course, you can watch the different games. You can get, you know, MLB on your phone. You can watch whatever game you want to on the road. But get the update just when somebody's up to the plate or up to the bat, or maybe on your fantasy baseball team seeing that guy.
Because I don't want to sit there and watch an entire Cincinnati Reds game, but I want to watch every time Ellie De La Cruz is up to bat.
But that way you get a text, man.
I love that idea.
You're at the dinner with your girlfriend. Oh, Bobby's up, man. And then you click it, you hit the little thing, the little update, and boom. I mean, we are in 2024, right?
Yeah. I love that idea.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We can open our garage door, change your heater, your air conditioning, whatever on your cell phone.
Pretty much.
You can lock your, you can set your alarm, start your car. We can do a lot of things in 2024. Why the hell can't we do this? Why the hell do we still have these blackouts? Why don't we have a regional network for baseball? I think they're going that direction, by the way. But why sometimes do we go backwards instead of forwards? I use technology.
It's mind-boggling to me.
And replay sucks, that it should be getting better.
Yeah.
Stop rotating umpiring crews into New York. Have someone fixed there that doesn't know people. Like, Blake, if you and I were major league umpires and it was your turn to go to New York and I made a terrible, crappy call on the field, you'd be like, oh, it's my dude, man. It's Jay. I'm going to be nice to him, man.
Can't make him look bad.
Or if it was you, it's like, oh, man, Blake didn't mean it, man. I'm just going to side with Blake here. I mean, stupid stuff like that. Anyway, I didn't get into the who's got the most to prove. We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Sneeders, producing the operation. Paul Skeens just goes one inning, by the way. That's what they're doing, man. One inning. So all that talk about who's going to be the starters, it doesn't matter. You get one inning. It worked out perfect, too, with the rest and everything. I know, you know, teams, you know, want their player rested for when they turn around and go back, because it is an exhibition game at this point. Doesn't matter. But more and more people really want those uniforms to go back. This from an article about those uniforms. The club uniforms were used by the American League from 1933 to 2019, by the National League from 1934 to 2019. When the game resumed in 2021 following the pandemic-related cancellation in 2020, MLB had started a uniform contract with Nike and Fanatics, and All-Stars were outfitted in specifically designed league uniforms that drew criticism from traditionalists. Seems like every Major League Baseball thing is drawing criticism.
Well, MLB people are traditionalists in general.
But I mean, man, things have changed, though. You get rid of the shift. You know, you have the pitch clock. You had the third wild card now. I mean, you've had to get you. If you're a traditionalist, you've had to get used to new stuff.
So real quick, before we move on to who needs to step up.
That's right.
I want to know Bing's take on, of all the rule changes that we've had in baseball, which one is your favorite and which one do you not like? I know there's been quite a few. So
I enjoy that. Here's the thing. I do enjoy the pitch clock. I've never minded the time of game. But a guy like Kenley Jansen, that dude drives me nuts. I mean, he stretches it all the way to the pitch limit, right? And before that pitch limit was on, he would take his time, walk around. His blood pressure must be extremely low, man, because he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? He goes out there, scratches his nuts, throws to first base, scratches again, would throw again. It's like, come on, dude, just throw a pitch.
Get the game rolling.
But that would drive me nuts. That's probably my least favorite.
So your favorite is the installation of the pitch clock. All right, and your least favorite?
That's hard to say. I do feel you should be able to shift any direction you want.
That's what I thought you were going to say, because I'm kind of the same. I mean, it's defensive.
I also don't like the guy on second base in extra innings.
It's defensive game plan. Yeah, that I do like that one when I'm playing video games, but I don't like it in real life because I get it. It speeds the game up. That way you're not sitting there in the 27th inning at 2 o'clock in the morning, but still it's like, it's not really traditionalism in the baseball game.
You know, here's the thing. When I did the Royals post game, right, so I had experience. I'd be there every game till hours afterwards, right? So, yeah, a guy like me would say, okay, well, you want a shorter game, you know? You don't want these extra inning games being drug on. But the chess match that goes on between these teams, I didn't mind. Not to mention, I never left a K. And someone that spent time in the summer, you know, driving up from Wichita or down from Iowa or up from Arkansas, you know, ever complained, spent the money on the tickets, ever complained oh, the game went 3.5 hours. Now, it does suck because you can't get the beer anymore, which can be a problem.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I never really heard many people complain. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't complain about that because they were enjoying themselves. They spent a lot on tickets. Why rush the thing? Why rush the experience? So that's... How about you?
I think I'm lockstep with you.
Okay.
I think I definitely like that the pitch clock kind of keeps the game rolling. Again, you don't have the Kenley Jansons. You don't have the guys that are taking
Kenley Jansen
long.
Drives me freaking nuts, man.
Bink, it seems like you got something for Kenley Jansen there. And then I would say that the shift, I always thought that was a defensive strategy, and I liked it. I mean, if you as a hitter can't hit to the opposite field and you can only hit and they can game plan against that, that's your fault. That's not the defensive
but
team's
against
fault.
It. But yeah. Against it. I mean, that's one thing we see.
Yeah.
Before I... play some Eli Drinkwitz because it was Missouri Day with Carrington, and I thought it was a really fun interview. It was Media Day for Missouri at the SEC Media Days as well, but Eli joined Carrington. But on CBS, they put who needs to step up for each team. And a lot of times I'll see this, and I don't agree with it, but I actually agree with this. For instance, for Cleveland, Deshaun Watson. They say Deshaun Watson needs to step up. I thought he would have a better year last year. Trey Lance for the Cowboys. What's he going to do? How can you step up with your backup quarterback? That's the thing. How can you step up if you're the backup behind Dak? He's not going to beat Dak out. So Trey Lance, I mean, the 49ers, for as much credit as they get for drafting Brock Purdy, they deserve a lot of crap for drafting Trey Lance and giving up what they did to draft him. They deserve a tremendous amount of crap. For a guy that didn't even play. It was the pandemic year. He played one game at North Dakota State because that's all they played the year of the pandemic. But yet they still drafted him anyway. For the Chiefs, you haven't seen this, Blake, but if you were to say one guy, let's just see what you got, man. You got to step up, man. You got to step up and do something. We know you have the potential, but you haven't shown it.
Well, there's a couple guys I'd go with. I think the most crucial guy that needs to step up to me would be Sky Moore. But if you're really talking about, like, okay, maybe they're going off draft pick status.
That's fair.
Then maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think it's either Clyde. I think it's Sky Moore first, Clyde, and then maybe Tony.
I think those are both fair, but they have Kadarius Tony.
Ah, okay.
And I'm okay with that. Kadarius Mondesi, what I've called him in the past, because Adalberto Mondesi had more talent. And we talk about the talent of Bobby Witt Jr. Adalberto Mondesi had that talent, man.
Of course.
A five-tool guy. He had that speed, had the power, could switch it, could do a lot of the thing. He just couldn't stay on the damn field.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. But they put Kadarius Toney. Here's their reasoning. The person who definitely figures out Kadarius Toney's true role in NFL future will be the first to do so. Hailed internally as maybe the most talented receiver on the Chiefs' depth chart, the former Giants castoff is also one of Kansas City's most mercurial characters. With speedsters Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown added to the room, he's once again battling for looks from Patrick Mahomes. Listen, he's got that mantra, being a first-round pick. He comes in here, yes. 2 years ago, you needed that big return for him in the Super Bowl. He always has that talent. And I've sat here on post-game shows. When he gets the ball, and they're not huge gains, like 10-yard gains or 15-yard gains, and he jukes people out of their jock strap. And I'm like, man, this guy shows so many flashes of talent. But then he's always hurt. And I can't guarantee he's going to be on the roster because I'm sitting here going, okay, Xavier Worthy's on. Rashee Rice is on. Hollywood Brown's definitely on. That's three. Andy Reid, he kept seven last year, but the most he ever kept before that was six. So then you have Justin Watson. I do believe he's on the team. And then all of a sudden you're getting there to number five, six, and seven. And then you're looking at guys that really stood out during OTAs. He can return as well. Nicky Romigio, a guy that was on the was hurt last year but still got a ring from the Chiefs, but he can return. And we know the return game is going to be so big in the NFL this year with the new rules. So – And he showed some flashes.
Yeah.
So Nico, say he makes it.
And he looks good in last year's preseason as well.
And then all of a sudden you're battling. You know, are you going to keep seven? Are you going to put Justin Ross on your practice squad again? Who's going to make that last receiver? And I haven't even mentioned Sky Moore.
I was going to say.
I haven't even mentioned Sky Moore.
Who they trust because he does everything well other than – now, I will say I think they've been using Sky Moore wrong. He's a slot receiver. He's not an X receiver, so stop putting him out on the outside. Move him inside and let him be more of that Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type. Stop using him as an X and a Z, all right? Use him as a Y guy. Use him as an inside H guy.
So you're battling there between Sky Moore – Justin Ross, I mean, it's put up or shut up time for him.
Tony Romeo.
And Kadarius Tony Romeo. So first four, I think, are locked in. The others? Who knows what happens? And it's not to say they wouldn't make a move either. Well, now, I know the text line wants them to trade for Brandon Ayuk.
I was just going to say, he's requested a trade. I don't see it happening.
Chiefs aren't going to pay a receiver like that.
No.
I think they understand the market now. It's like they're not going to pay Hollywood Brown after the season because he's going to get the bag. They're not going to do that. They're going to build their team through the draft. They don't want to pay that price that people are paying for wide receivers now.
Especially when you just proved you can win a Super Bowl without top dollar wide receivers.
And you won back-to-back. And you have arguably the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Well, no, this year you have 100% the best quarterback in the NFL. He's the best quarterback going right now. What did the American League do? They just hit a big home run? It's 3-0 now, American League over the National League.
Ohtani put one in the seats?
No, somebody from the American League. What happened here?
It was National League.
National League's
it
up.
It was Ohtani.
National League's up 3-0. I had to update
things. Ohtani bombed it.
Ohtani bomb. There you go. Jack Caglione, the Royals. All right, they got their future two-way star. Speaking of that, J.J. Piccolo talked about his draft. I have that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Sneeders producing the operation. Paul Skeens just goes one inning, by the way. That's what they're doing, man. One inning. So all that talk about who's going to be the starter, it doesn't matter. You get one inning. It worked out perfect, too, with the rest and everything. I know, teams, want their player rested for when they turn around and go back because it is an exhibition game at this point. Doesn't matter. But more and more people really want those uniforms to go back. This from an article about those uniforms. The club uniforms were used by the American League from 1933 to 2019. By the National League from 1934 to 2019. When the game resumed in 2021 following the pandemic-related cancellation in 2020, MLB had started a uniform contract with Nike and Fanatics, and All-Stars were outfitted in specifically designed league uniforms that drew criticism from traditionalists. Seems like every Major League Baseball thing is drawing criticism.
Well, MLB people are traditionalists in general.
But, you get rid of the chef. You have the pitch clock. You had the third wild card now. I mean, you've had to get you. If you're a traditionalist, you've had to get used to new stuff.
So real quick, before we move on to who needs to step up.
That's right.
I want to know Bing's take on, of all the rule changes that we've had in baseball, which one is your favorite and which one do you not like? I know there's been quite a few. So
I enjoy that. Here's the thing. I do enjoy the pitch clock. I've never minded the time of game. But a guy like Kenley Jansen, that drives me nuts. I mean, he stretches it all the way to the pitch limit, right? And before that pitch limit was on, he would take his time, walk around. His blood pressure must be extremely low, man, because he doesn't, he goes out there, scratches his nuts, throws to first base, scratches again, would throw again. It's like, come on, dude, just throw a pitch.
Get the game rolling.
But that would drive me nuts. That's probably my least favorite.
So your favorite is the installation of the pitch clock. All right, and your least favorite?
That's hard to say. I do feel you should be able to shift any direction you want.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Because I'm kind of the same. I mean, it's defensive.
I also don't like the guy on second base in extra innings.
It's defensive game plan. Yeah, that I do like that one when I'm playing video games, but I don't like it in real life because I get it. It speeds the game up. That way you're not sitting there in the 27th inning at 2 o'clock in the morning, but still it's like, it's not really traditionalism in the baseball game.
Here's the thing. When I did the Royals post game, right? So I had experience. I'd be there every game till hours afterwards, right? So, a guy like me would say, okay, well, you want a shorter game, You don't want these extra inning games being drug on. But the chess match that goes on between these teams, I didn't mind. Not to mention, I never left a K. And someone that spent time in the summer, driving up from Wichita or down from Iowa or up from Arkansas, ever complained, spent the money on the tickets, ever complained, the game went 3.5 hours. Now, it does suck because you can't get the beer anymore, which can be a problem.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I never really heard many people complain. You know what I'm saying? Like, they wouldn't complain about that because they were enjoying themselves. They spent a lot on tickets. Why rush the thing? Why rush the experience? So that's... How about you?
I think I'm lockstep with you.
Okay.
I think I definitely like that the pitch clock kind of keeps the game rolling. Again, you don't have the Kenley Jansons. You don't have the guys that are taking
Kenley
real
Jansen
long.
Kenley Jansen drives me freaking nuts, man.
Bink, it seems like you got something for Kenley Jansen there. And then I would say that the shift, I always thought that was a defensive strategy, and I liked it. I mean, if you as a hitter can't hit to the opposite field and you can only hit and they can game plan against that, that's your fault. That's not the defensive
but
team's
against
fault.
I mean, that's the one thing we see.
Yeah.
Before I... play some Eli Drinkwitz because it was Missouri Day with Carrington, and I thought it was a really fun interview. It was media day for Missouri at the SEC Media Days as well, but Eli joined Carrington. But on CBS, they put who needs to step up for each team. And a lot of times I'll see this, and I don't agree with it, but I actually agree with this. For instance, for Cleveland, Deshaun Watson. They say Deshaun Watson needs to step up. I thought he would have a better year last year. Trey Lance for the Cowboys. What's he going to do? How can you step up with your backup quarterback? That's the thing. How can you step up if you're the backup behind Dak? He's not going to beat Dak out. So Trey Lance, I mean, the 49ers, for as much credit as they get for drafting Brock Purdy, they deserve a lot of crap for drafting Trey Lance and giving up what they did to draft him. They deserve a tremendous amount of crap. For a guy that didn't even play. It was the pandemic year. He played one game at North Dakota State because that's all they played the year of the pandemic. But yet they still drafted him anyway. For the Chiefs, you haven't seen this, Blake, but if you were to say one guy, let's just see what you got, man. You got to step up, man. You got to step up and do something. We know you have the potential, but you haven't shown it.
Well, there's a couple guys I'd go with. I think the most crucial guy that needs to step up to me would be Sky Moore. But if you're really talking about like, okay, maybe they're going off draft pick status.
That's fair.
Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think it's either Clyde. I think it's Sky Moore first, Clyde, and then maybe Tony.
I think those are both fair, but they have Kadarius Tony.
Ah, okay.
And I'm okay with that. Kadarius Mondesi, what I've called him in the past, because Adalberto Mondesi had more talent. And we talk about the talent of Bobby Witt Jr. Adalberto Mondesi had that talent, man.
Of course.
A five-tool guy. He had that speed, had the power, could switch it, could do a lot of the thing. He just couldn't stay on the damn field.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. But they put Kadarius Toney. Here's their reasoning. The person who definitely figures out Kadarius Toney's true role in NFL future will be the first to do so. Hailed internally as maybe the most talented receiver on the Chiefs' depth chart, the former Giants cast off is also one of Kansas City's most mercurial characters. With speedsters Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown added to the room, he's once again battling for looks from Patrick Mahomes. Listen, he's got that mantra, being a first-round pick. He comes in here, yes. 2 years ago, you needed that big return for him in the Super Bowl. He always has that talent. And I've sat here on post-game shows. When he gets the ball, and they're not huge gains, like 10-yard gains or 15-yard gains, and he jukes people out of their jock strap. And I'm like, man, this guy shows so many flashes of talent. But then he's always hurt. And I can't guarantee he's going to be on the roster because I'm sitting here going, okay, Xavier Worthy's on. Rashee Rice is on. Hollywood Brown's definitely on. That's three. Andy Reid. He kept seven last year, but the most he ever kept before that was six. So then you have Justin Watson. I do believe he's on the team. And then all of a sudden you're getting there to number five, six, and seven. And then you're looking at guys that really stood out during OTAs. He can return as well. Nicky Romigio, a guy that was on the was hurt last year but still got a ring from the Chiefs, but he can return. And we know the return game is going to be so big in the NFL this year with the new rules. So – And he showed some flashes.
Yeah.
So Nico would say he makes it.
And he looks good in last year's preseason as well.
And then all of a sudden you're battling. You know, are you going to keep seven? Are you going to put Justin Ross on your practice squad again? Who's going to make that last receiver? And I haven't even mentioned Sky Moore.
I was going to say.
I haven't even mentioned Sky Moore.
Who they trust because he does everything well other than – now, I will say I think they've been using Sky Moore wrong. He's a slot receiver. He's not an X receiver, so stop putting him out on the outside. Move him inside and let him be more of that Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type. Stop using him as an X and a Z, all right? Use him as a Y guy. Use him as an inside H guy.
So you're battling there between Sky Moore, Justin Ross, I mean, it's put up or shut up time for him.
Toney, Romigio.
And Kadarius Toney, Romigio. So First four, I think, are locked in. The others, who knows what happens? And it's not to say they wouldn't make a move either. Well, now, I know the text line wants them to trade for Brandon Ayuk.
I was just going to say, he's requested a trade. I don't see it happening.
Chiefs aren't going to pay a receiver like that.
No.
I think they understand the market now. It's like they're not going to pay Hollywood Brown after the season because he's going to get the bag. They're not going to do that. They're going to build their team through the draft. They don't want to pay that price that people are paying for wide receivers now.
Especially when you just proved you can win a Super Bowl without top-dollar wide receivers.
And you won back-to-back. And you have arguably the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Well, no, this year you have 100% the best quarterback in the NFL. He's the best quarterback going right now. What did the American League do? They just hit a big home run? It's 3-0 now, American League over the National League.
Did Ohtani put one in the seats?
No, somebody from the American League. What happened here?
No, it was National League.
National League's up.
It was Ohtani.
National League's up 3-0. I had to update
things. Ohtani bombed it.
Ohtani bomb. There you go.
Jack Caglione,
the Royals, right? They got their future two-way star. Speaking of that, J.J. Piccolo talked about his draft. I have that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.